You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Isn't it a great day to be alive? Hey, we live stream our second gathering. Would you give it up for those watching online right now? Thanks for joining us. And we also, this is also then rebroadcasted into correctional facilities across the state of Alaska. And so we're so glad that they can be a part and those online can be a part of us. My name's Mark and I'm one of the pastors here. And we're in a series right now called Your Best Days Are Ahead. And I'm an optimist. I just believe our best. How many of you guys believe our best days are ahead? I mean, why not, right? I mean, I just believe if God is God and we're not Him and God has plans for us, then if we partner with Him, then there's some great things ahead. I believe the best things are ahead for my marriage, 26 years into it, and I still think our best days are ahead. Although yesterday was great, the last 26 years have been great, at least for me. But I believe this, I believe for our church, our best days are ahead. And so we've been talking about this thought, and we started about 8 weeks ago now on have the right values. If we have the right values that steer our decisions, our best days can be ahead. And we talked about having the role the Holy Spirit plays in our life, and we talked several weeks about how He's our guide, and if the right guide by our side and the right spirit, you know, how many of you guys are thankful the Holy Spirit can give us intuition, discernment, and He can steer us and point us back to the Word and truth, and He's that inner guide, the gospel goose pimples, the Holy Spirit nudges that kind of tell us which way to go. And then we talked about the last couple weeks about the right friends, the right relationships, having wise people around us, the right dream for our team. Today, I want to talk about walking through the right doors, because if we have the right values, we have the Holy Spirit's guidance, we have the right friendships, doors open. How many of you guys know that doors, you know, in fact, the Bible, there's 400 times it talks about doors. Now, some of those doors are holes in walls for people to come in and out. We get that. But there's also doors in the Bible are a metaphor for there's an open door. There's an opportunity. God closes doors. And so we're going to talk about doors today. Actually, the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about doors and how to choose the right doors to walk through. Because there's significance there. Let's talk about doors. In fact, I need your help here. How many of you guys in your house, raise your hand, you have a sliding door? Any sliding doors in here? Okay? Sliding doors. Okay, how many of you guys have a pocket door? Anyone have a pocket door? Okay, a few of you have a pocket door. Like, what's a pocket door? Well, a pocket door is a door that slides into a wall and it slides back out. That's a pocket door. How many of you guys have a front door? Raise your hand real high. Some of you don't have your hand raised. I knew some of you weren't participating. Now I think some of you weren't participating and some of you aren't wise. Front doors are pretty important in the Arctic, okay? How many believe that, okay? A front door. Now, how many have a basement door? Any basements in the house, okay? Let's pray for a slow breakup if you have a basement, right? Slow breakups, okay? How many guys have a Dutch door? Anyone have Dutch doors? What's a Dutch door? Go downstairs. Our nurseries have Dutch doors where the top half of the door opens up. The bottom one stays in there to keep your kids in prison. I mean, to keep them in the nursery, right? Okay, we're glad for Dutch doors, okay? How many guys have a garage door? How many of you guys have garages? You know, thank you, Jesus, for garages. Now, here's one for you. How many of you guys have an attic door? You have an attic door. Anyone have an attic door? Or like, you know, anyone have? Now, I sure hope every one of you raises your hand on this one. If you don't, I'm going to pray for everyone around you. How many have a bathroom door? Okay, if you don't have a bathroom door, I'm going to pray for everyone in your house, okay? How many of you guys also have matches in your bathroom? Never mind, we won't raise your hand, okay? How many of you guys get in trouble because you didn't shut the bathroom door after you left, okay? How many have a revolving door? Revolving door. Anyone no revolving doors? Let's hope there's not revolving doors in your relationships. Okay, never mind. Glass doors. Anyone glass doors? Anyone have a squeaky door? Squeaky doors? Anyone have a jammed door? We have a door in the back of our church here that, you know, when it gets cold, it kind of raises whatever, and the door kind of, and then in the summertime, it opens up. And so, you know, it's because things kind of, things just shift in Alaska. How many of you guys have noticed that? How many of you guys have a secret door in your house? Raise your hand. You have a secret door in your house. Raise your hand real high. Secret door. It's not a secret anymore. Shouldn't raise your hand. That wasn't wise. I'm joking, Jen. Okay. Now again, doors, there's physical doors, but there's also doors, doors can have significant spiritual significance. A door can be an entrance or an exit. It can be a bridge to something great or a barrier to keep you from something. A door can be a way of saying welcome and a door of saying you're not welcome. It can represent acceptance or rejection some people have a hard time getting past that door. Maybe there's an event that happened in your life and you have a hard time getting past that situation. You keep bumping up against a lid or a door. Or maybe a door can be a gateway or a portal, or it can be something that separates people. Doors can keep critters out or keep critters in. They can protect, they can provide access. And in the Bible, a door could represent the door of salvation. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you open your heart, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. It represents a relationship. It's a passage of discipleship. It's a door of ministry is opened up, and Paul said that before, a door of ministry. It could be an outside door of mission, like God opened the door for me to go do this, or opened the door for me to share my faith with my friend, opportunities of mission or witness, or an access. God opened the door in prayer, and I felt like there was a breakthrough in the prayer. Or a holy door of worship or a door of fellowship. Doors, they have implications. I want to read a verse in a moment in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, where God, in the book of Revelation, he starts out the book of Revelation writing seven letters to seven churches, and some of the letters are pretty blunt and rebuking them. But I want to read one in chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, where God talks to the church in Philadelphia. It's Philadelphia is not the church in Pennsylvania. This is 2,000 years before there was ever a Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, United States of America. This is Philadelphia, which is in common day Turkey. And phileo is a Greek word for love, and Delphia is brotherly. So it's the city of brotherly love. That's why Philadelphia is known as the city of brotherly love. God writes a letter to the angel of the church of Philadelphia with this word, and he says this to them. And I believe it's a picture that God wants to give right to us as well. To the angel, the church of Philadelphia, he writes, these are the words of him who's holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. In other words, God is sovereign, and God holds the keys. And God can open doors, and God can shut doors. And the doors God shuts, no one can open. And the doors God opens, no one can shut. How many are thankful God is sovereign? How many are thankful God can open doors? How many are thankful God can shut other doors? How many of you guys are thankful for that? Then it goes on, it says this, I know your deeds. Aren't you glad God knows us? This is what blows my mind about God, is God knows everything about me and he still loves me. God knows everything about you and still loves you. That should give you a sense of, wow, God is good. If God knows every thought, every intimate conversation, God knows everything about me and still loves me. Says, I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. In other words, God's telling the church in Philadelphia, I am giving you an opportunity. I know you. I know who you are. I've opened a door of opportunity. And that door, no one can shut. He says, I know that you have little strength, that you have kept my word, and you've not denied my name. In other words, he goes, I know you're not perfect, but I'm going to give you opportunities. And I know you don't always feel like you have the strength. And I know there's times, but you've never denied me, and you've followed my word. So there's an opportunity. There's a door. And today I want to talk about what types of doors do we walk through? What types and what do doors represent in our life? Because I'm convinced of this. You didn't wake up today and say, I'm going to go to church because I'm bored. In fact, in our first service, we have a guy, his name is Reuben. He managed the sleep center in town. I said, you and I get paid to do the same thing, put people to sleep. uh, But I want to talk about doors, because I'm convinced you're here because there's something inside you, or you're online listening right now because there's something inside you that says, I want to know what God's will is for my life. I want to walk through the opportunities God has for me. I want to become all that God's called me to become. Is that a right? Is that a fair assumption? I didn't see anyone drug in here. I didn't see anyone like, no, I don't want to know. There might be some teenagers that talked about that in the car, but they got in here anyway. But I know this. And so today, what do we need to know about doors? And we're going to talk about, this is part one of two. And next week, we'll finish this conversation. And there's no way to talk about all that we wanted to do in just 1 week. So number one, write this down if you're taking notes. Every door is a decision. Every door is a decision. In the Bible, doors are metaphors for choices we make every day. And so they represent decisions. Do I walk through this door? Do I not walk through this door? Is this a door I should go through? Is this a door that I shouldn't go through? Is this a door that I shouldn't open? And we know this, that God closes doors that we cannot open and opens doors we cannot shut. But how many want to know God's not the only one that has doors out there? There's decisions. And I almost every single time I perform a wedding, there's a statement I say to the bride and groom, and say, I say this to them. I said, you first made a choice. And today you're making that choice public, and that choice will now make you. And at some point in a Christian wedding, oftentimes there's some symbol of unity, whether it's a candle or sand ceremony or whatever. And there's two outside candles that they're going to light one candle, and they're extinguish the two because the two will become one. And those choices change you. But every door we walk through is a decision. And those decisions change us. They make us who we are. And so we've all have choices that come all the time. And every time you see a door, you have a decision to make. And whether it's financially, you make decisions. There's opportunities. There's things you have to. And so every door is a decision. Number one. Number two, if you're taking notes, my destiny will be shaped by which doors I walk past and which doors I walk through. My destiny will be shaped by which doors I walk past and which doors I walk through. See, destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. The choices you make. My destiny was defined when I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. It changed my life. When I met my wife and married her and made that decision 26 years ago, that changed my life. There's choices we make, and those choices, whether we walk through those doors or we walk past them, they will determine our destiny. And so, see, sometimes we think, well, no, you don't know. I grew up in a difficult home. I had these difficult circumstances influence us. Choices define our destiny. We can't control. You can't control the family you came from. But you can control the family you'll be. You can't control the cards that were dealt to you in life, but you do have the ability to determine how you play the cards that have been dealt in life. We can stay victims of our circumstances, or we can give them over to Jesus and become victorious because of our choices to walk past things and not stay where we're at. We don't have to. How many want to know? We don't have to stay where we're at. If you fall on your face, turn over, because if you can look up, you can get up. There is someone who wants to help us, but our destiny is not shaped purely by circumstances, but by choices. That's why you could take two people, give them identical situations growing up, and one ends up becoming all God called them to become, and one is stuck over here in situations because they haven't leveraged the doors in a correct way. It's our decisions. Doors we walk past, doors we walk through. Now, I think there's a time for all of us to have a true confession time. How many of us have ever walked through doors that we thought were right to find out they were the wrong door? Raise your hand. You made decisions. They could be relational decisions. They could be financial decisions. They could be decisions on doing something with a certain economy. Should I do this? Should I not do this? And I remember my wife and I, we were on church at a staff in Vegas, and our pastor pulls all the pastors in, and we're there. And he says, guys, I wouldn't typically give financial advice, but I did this, and it worked. I did it again, and it worked even faster. He said, there's this thing called international placement of whatever, and the acronym was IPIC. I should have known what that was about. So I put $20,000 in, and 6 weeks later, I got a check back for the $20,000 plus $5,000 more. So I put that all back in there, and I made 50% profit in 7 weeks. And so you know what my wife and I did? We got to pull together. We're young, and we're like, wow, if he made it. So we pulled together the extra we had, and we put it into IPIC, only to find out it was a Ponzi scheme, and they picked us clean. And I remember we're at the place where we shut off our cable. We made decisions. We were victims, but we still had choices to make in the whole process. But how many people have walked through? And maybe you're here today, and you're in a difficult place because you've been in codependent, abusive relationships for a while, and you're like, how come I seem to get in the same place that I don't want? Or maybe you're here living from paycheck to paycheck, and yet you're paid way more than you were before, but you're still living paycheck to paycheck. Well, it could be because of some of the choices you make in your life. Your destiny would be defined, determined by the doors you walk through and the doors you walk past. And there's some wrong doors you walk through, and it takes years to get back on the right path. There's other times that, you know, you take a wrong step, you go, oh, it's a wrong one, and you make a path, and you're right back on the path, and it's not that big a hurt. But there's some of us in this room or on live stream today where your decisions, you don't have a door problem, you have a door choosing problem. Your door chooser's broken. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Well, I don't know what it is. No, you know something? Guess what? You might just be a bad door chooser. If everywhere Bob goes, Bob has a bad door, Bob's the problem. Right? If some of us kick the person in the butt most responsible for the problems in our life, we wouldn't sit down for a week. Okay? So part of it is, how do we know and choose the right doors? There's one word for that. It's called discernment. We need discernment. How do we know what doors to walk through and what doors not to walk through? How do we know the timing of those doors? And so the next 7 weeks, we want to talk about how do we gain discernment? In fact, I love what Moses said in Deuteronomy. He said this to the Israelites: today, I'm giving you a choice. You can choose life and success, or you could choose death and disaster. Now, it almost reminds me of Monty Hall. Now, us older folks know who Monty is with Let's Make a Deal. Anyone remember that? You young folks, like, what's that? That's what I try to tell my parents. Hey, if you let me do this, can I play my iPad for an hour? No, that's a different type of deal. Let's Make a Deal. Behind door number one, door number two, and you had to pick what door. And behind door, one of the doors was a car. And the other door was a candy bar. How do you want to know? My boy would like the candy bar. But how do you want to know? A candy bar is not the same as a car. Now, someday, my son will want a candy bar and a car. Actually, I need you to pray for my son. He's 8 years old. And my son would rather have an apple or a carrot than a piece of candy. That's a problem. I'm a Zweifel. In my house, my dad said, you can't have one candy, you have to have two. I grew up, you can't have one cookie, you have to have two. We Zweifels do that. And I realized later on, it's like, that was the wrong door to walk down, Dad. I've come to realize if the bubble's in the middle, they know your level. That's the only thing I can grab from that thing, okay? At least that's what I learned when I did carpentry, right? But the door, how do you pick the right door? It's discernment. God, how do I have discernment? How do I know what relationship to be into and how, or the right relationship to connect to it? And if you're here today and maybe you found yourself on the back end of a bunch of bad doors, and maybe you find yourself addicted to drugs or alcohol or codependent relationships. We have recovery groups here. We have care groups here. We have divorce care because we get it. Hey, having a divorce doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you someone that needs some healing. Because you picked the wrong door doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a bad picker. But that's why you need the right people around you to find the health and the wholeness that God has for you. And so we want to be a part of that. Let us know if we can help and all. And so today, let's talk the next step here on discernment. Is we have to understand this truth, and this deals with the discernment. We have to understand that a door may be one of three things. Now I can't just categorize it one of three things, but in the key area, doors are going to come into one of three main categories. Number one, a door could be an opportunity from God. There are opportunities that God has for us. If God has plans for us and plans for to prosper us, and if all the numbers of all the days of my life are written in books before I was ever born, then that means God has plans and doors for me to walk through. And there's opportunities, and there's things God has opened the door. That's what Paul told. Actually, that's what the angel wrote to the book of Philadelphia, to the church in Philadelphia. That God has a door He's opened for us. It's a God door. It's an opportunity from God. And when my wife and I, we sensed transition. And when we were living in Las Vegas, we sensed transition, and we didn't know what that looked like. And then all of a sudden, I'm actually preaching a conference for pastors in the northern region of Alaska, and I'm sitting right here in this church. I was living in Vegas. I had a shirt with velvet on it with pointed shoes. I soon realized I should have worn my flannel and a Carhartt coat or something like that, not pointed shoes and a velvet shirt. But I'm here, and God started to stir my heart. And we found ourselves with an opportunity, and a job was open to us in Alaska. And we walked through it because we felt like it was a God opportunity. There's doors God will open to you that are doors you should walk into and walk through. And there are doors that God has opened. And in fact, here's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. A huge door of opportunity for good work has opened up here. This is Paul. Now notice that's a sentence that stops with the word here. But you know what the next sentence behind that in that verse says? Let me read it. It says this. It says, and there's much opposition. So I want to point out, in your discernment, trying to find the decision for if this is God or not, don't just think that God's will is always going to be easy. And if it's not easy, it must not be God. That is not the case. How many want to know? Good marriages aren't always easy. They're hard work. Raising godly kids is not always easy. It's hard work. But I can tell you right now, not everything hard is worth it, but everything worth it can be hard. And Paul says, a great door of opportunity for good work has opened up, but there's some challenges. And so part of discernment is like there's an open door, and it's going to be hard. Being hard doesn't tell you whether it's God or not. Do you think Jesus, it was easy for him to go to the cross? He was sweating drops of blood. Not my will, but yours be done. And he knew if he walked through that door and went to the cross, it meant nails in his hands and his feet, but yet it was God's will, but there were still difficult circumstances leading up to it. So don't think if things are going hard right now, it must not be God. It could be God. The second thing an open door could be is an open door could be a distraction from others. A distraction. I love the historical books of the Old Testament. And one of the books is Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a story about someone that God raised up to rebuild the city of God. In the book of Isaiah, it talks about how God's people have been taken captive and they're living within Babylon and they're there, and their city of God is living within the city of man. There's a difficult, God's people are, they're living as exiles. And at one point, God raised up Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he worked for the king. He's the assistant of the king. And he had this dream and desire. God sort of put in his heart to go back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, and rebuild the city. To rebuild the walls, to rebuild the temple. He went for a midnight ride and saw the devastation, would weep. And the king one day pulls him in and says, man, you don't seem the same, King Artaxerxes. What's going on? He goes, I feel like God wants me to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. So he took the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem. And like I said, not every opportunity from God is easy, because he started rebuilding the wall. And you know, he had to separate people and have one half of the people stand guard as they're building the wall and the other half build the wall, because not always when you do God's will is it easy. There are some of you in here watching the live stream or here in the auditorium that you want to serve God, but the reality is you're trying to serve God, but your friends are going, oh, come on, one more drink's not going to hurt. And you're trying to live a life of sobriety and get off of drugs or alcohol, and you got friends trying to tug you back. Those friends could be distractions. They could be they could be really good people, but they don't realize you're trying to pick a different door. Or maybe you struggle with your identity and your security, and there's someone of the opposite sex who has hurt you and perhaps even put you down, and you're trying to live and realize, I've taken ownership for my future and my life. I don't have to be codependent. I don't have to be trampled on. I don't have to be a floor mat for someone to walk. But in a weak moment, they call back, and that knight in shining armor, it might become your nightmare if you allow them to distract you again. They're distractions. And so Nehemiah is building this wall. And he gets letters from people, hey, you need to come back and talk about this. And I love what Nehemiah's response is. He says this, so I sent messengers back to them with this reply, I'm doing an important work right now. Why should the work stop while I come to see you? Another verse says, I'm doing a good thing. I can't come. There are some of you, understand something. If you're on a good path and God's got you on a good trajectory, you don't want to be distracted because someone's calling you to check out the other door over here and you're walking down a good path right now. Be tougher than woodpecker lips and just keep pecking away. Don't give up. It might be hard. It might be difficult, but don't give up. Part of discernment is, God, is this a God opportunity or is this a distraction? I remember just a few months ago, my wife and I got a call from a church in Portland. And I used to joke. We've been in this process of buying land and building a building. But years before we bought our land, a couple years ago before we bought the land, we tried to buy Kmart. And last minute, they didn't want to sell it to us. And so I was like, oh, man. I came home and said, well, Heidi, why did I take a church that had 87 people that seats 350? I should have taken a church of 350 that seats 1,200. I kind of joked about it. Well, then we take out some loans, we buy some land, we start remodeling. Well, I got that call last year, a church in Portland, Oregon, right 70 miles from my family, 10 miles from my wife's family, going, hey, we have 350 people right now, we're struggling, we hear you like to rebuild things, could you come? The church seats 1,200, has a school already built, all those things. And I said to this guy, I said, sir, thank you so much, but here's the deal. I promised my church that if we buy this land and build this building, I'm here. You called about 2 years too late. I apologize, but it's a distraction and I would hurt people. And the reality is my word is more important than an opportunity. That's a distraction. It's not God. But I can tell you right now, congratulations, you're one step closer to finding the right person, because I'm not it. Why do I share that? There are some of you in here, you get those calls, you get those tugs. It's a distraction from what God's called you to do. Maybe a Fairbanks, Alaska isn't as bad as you thought it would be, because maybe this is the place you got your life back on the right track, or you may start making decisions and God has a path, and maybe it's actually Narnia. What is the door God's having you walk through right now? Don't be distracted. And thirdly, the third thing we have to assess and discern is this door a trap from Satan? How many want to know? God has plans for you, but so does the devil. It can be a trap from Satan. And there's ladies and there's gentlemen and there's trap doors in this world, and many of us have fallen for them before. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus one day, he knows he's on the way to the cross. He's with his disciples, and he tells the disciples, hey, the sheep are going to scatter. The shepherd's going to get struck. The sheep are going to scatter. I'm supposed to die like this. And you know what Peter says? No, you're not. No, you're not. And you know what Jesus says to Peter? Get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap for me. You're looking at things merely from a human viewpoint and not from God's. In other words, there are times, there are decisions that are just, they're not biblical, they're not right, they're not godly. They are traps from Satan. How many want to know Satan has a plan for you and it's keep you trapped? God came to give you life and life more abundantly, and Satan wants to trap you, keep you locked in, keep you at a place where you can't make decisions because you're financially so strapped because of poor choices of overextending yourself, and now you have no leverage. Or maybe he wants to keep you in a constant cycle of bad decision after bad decision until you don't gain traction. We'll talk more about this next week. But maybe you're here and you're listening online. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. And maybe you're here today because you hit rock bottom and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know your story, but I know this. I know if you left this place today and forgot who I am, you haven't lost a whole lot. If you leave here today or shut off the live stream and you forget who Jesus Christ is, you have lost everything. Because the Bible says it's appointed once for man to die and after that to face judgment. So if you're here and you've never made a decision for Jesus, or you've backslidden and you found yourself on the wrong doors and walking through the wrong path, today's the day he stands and he wants to knock and he wants you to open your life up to him and say, yes, I will choose to make you my Savior, my life leader. I'd like to pray with you all around this place if that's you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes online if you can? You've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Just pray this prayer silently. I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today I confess my sins to you. I believe you died on the cross to forgive me. Please forgive me today for my sins, my choices, the doors I walk through that separate me from you. And today I choose to make you the Lord of my life. I confess my sins and I believe you died on the cross, so please forgive me and please be my Savior and my life leader in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.